Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you found time in your schedule to spend these next few minutes together. And we're going to continue right on with the subject we've been sharing on spiritual warfare, the warrior's enemy, who is none other than the devil and Satan. And on yesterday's broadcast, we came to a close looking at the methods that he uses against us. And his first way that he tries to get us defeated, if he can, is that by using wiles, something that's attractive but deceptive and ensnaring. And this was the method that he used with Jesus in his temptation in the wilderness. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 11 says, to put on the whole armor of God and to be aware that we would not fall prey to the wiles of the devil. And then what's another way that he can come against us? Well, the scriptures talk about in that same chapter, verse 16, the fiery darts. Fiery darts are, if you will, poison-tipped arrows that strike suddenly at our minds, such as an unclean thought, an evil imagination, thoughts of strife or discord or offense. But let me say this. To be tempted in such a way is not sin. It only becomes sin when we act upon those suggestions. And if you don't love those kinds of thoughts, but you hate them and you refuse to accept them, then you don't need to worry over them, because it was simply a fiery dart that the enemy seeks to cause you to stumble and to fall. But the shield of faith, beloved, quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then sometimes, you know, he never gives up. If one method doesn't work, he'll try another. If he can't get you through wiles, he'll try fiery darts. And then he'll keep at you and at you. And he tries prolonged struggle or wrestling, if you will. Scripture tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against principalities and powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. But thank the Lord, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But beloved, it is a fight. It's up close. It's hand-to-hand combat, if you will. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast profession, a good profession, before many witnesses. However, beloved, to be successful in our warfare, no matter what method he tries against us, it does require consecration. In fact, it requires absolute consecration and dedication. What does Paul say when he's exhorting Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:4? He says, no man, and he's speaking just on a physical level, a natural level, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier in the military, in the Roman guard. I mean, it was very important to be loyal to your superiors, to Caesar. And so they would seek to do everything they could, if it was life itself. And so we have to have that same kind of consecration, a determination to stand and hold our ground. And we also now have to consider, moving on, the subjects of the evil one. Those who are not warring against him, but those who are his willing slaves, those are his subjects, because they have been blinded by the devil. What does Ephesians say in the 2nd chapter, verse 2? wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. We did the same thing, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And then in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 4, Paul tells us clearly, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so we see that they live in his kingdom of darkness, being captured by his powers, his signs and his lying wonders. They are in bondage to a great delusion. This is the condition into which sin and unbelief has brought us. That's where we were in times past, and where all the unsaved ones now are. They can be used by Satan against us. However, beloved, it's our responsibility to see the battle in spiritual perspective. That's so important. And claim them for the kingdom of the Lord, for the kingdom of light. We have to understand that if we're offended by unsaved family members, or by even people of the household of faith, we have to understand it's not flesh and blood, but it's the enemy trying to stir up strife and division. He never stops. At least he's very consistent in what he does. But beloved, the good news, as I bring this message to a close, is that we are victors. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the stronger one, and he is come into the devil's dominion. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he's overcome him and spoiled him of his goods. In Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 21 and 22. Let me turn quickly to that. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overtake him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. And so Jesus is our strong man. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's our mighty king. And by his life, death, and triumphant resurrection, he has spoiled principalities and powers. He's robbed them of their power over us. He's boldly displayed them as his conquest, when by his cross he triumphed over them. Praise God. Colossians 2 and 15 declares, and having spoiled principalities and powers, this is speaking of Jesus, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them. Praise God. The beautiful, wonderful Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil, even him that had the power of death. Now, beloved, we who believe in have been delivered from the power and dominion of Satan, and have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And we know that we have passed from death unto life. Praise God. 1 John 2 and 8 says, the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Thanks be to God, who hath given us the victory. And as it says in Revelation 12 and 11, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so, beloved, I've shared what I trust is, you know, this is not some profound, deep exposition of Scripture. It's just a relating and a referencing what the Word has to say about our spiritual warfare, what the Word has to say about our adversary. And we have a duty and a responsibility to resist the devil. You know, and I don't know if you remember back to the time you first got saved. For a while, it's what I would call a honeymoon period. Things are just absolutely wonderful and glorious, and you're floating on the air, as if it were, and everything. I mean, I declare, it's even like my eyesight was better. Everything was so different, but it wasn't but a very few months before I really started experiencing warfare. And unfortunately, that's the experience of God's people. But know that you're not going to be tested above what you're able. God puts a harness on them, on him, if you will, and he will not allow us to be tested beyond our strength. He has given us the grace to overcome, the grace to endure, and even through that testing, you see, there's a purpose in it, that our faith can be tried, that we can develop patience. And James says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we have a duty to resist the devil. Jesus has already done all the work. He's a defeated foe. He's given us the power and authority, but he will not resist the enemy for us. That is something we have to do. So in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 26 through 27, it says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And a few scriptures I want to share in closing in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober. Be watchful, brother and sister. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom withstand steadfast in your faith. And James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So in summary, the simple things we can do in warfare, number one, we have to recognize that it's a spiritual battle, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that we get God's perspective, and then we resist the devil, knowing that as we resist him, victory is ours. Praise God. Let's bring this broadcast to a close with a brief prayer. Father, I thank you for those who are in spiritual warfare, Lord. They're going to act on the word they've heard. And Father, in the power of agreeing prayer, we do submit ourselves to you anew and afresh. We resist the enemy. We rebuke the strategies, the plans, the works of darkness against us. And Father, we speak forth victory in your name. We are submitted to you. We resist the enemy. And even now he is fleeing. And Father, I thank you now for that anointing upon your beloved that destroys every yoke, where joy and faith and praise will come forth out of their innermost being, and those rivers of living water will flow unimpeded to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, I love you and I thank you for joining me. I pray for you every day, and I do invite you to write and share your prayer requests. Know that I deeply love you and am so grateful for this privilege that we have to come into your homes, into your workplaces, into your vehicles, and share the word of the Lord. God bless you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.